Christmas tree. Jesus is the King, born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, everybody say, Jesus, we remember this your birthday. Celebrations come because of something good. Celebrations we love to recall. Mary had a baby boy in Bethlehem, the greatest celebration of them all. Come on, ring those bells like the Christmas tree. Jesus is the King, born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, everybody say, Jesus, we remember this your birthday. Come on, ring those bells like the Christmas tree. Jesus is the King, born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, everybody say, Jesus, we remember this your birthday. Angels, we ever rise, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains can reply, echoing the joyous strains.
With you tonight and sing these good Christmas songs. I just wanted to remind these young people that next Wednesday and the following Wednesday there will be no services, okay? So no buses running, and don't show up here because nothing going on, okay? That'll be Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, and so hopefully you'll just be able to enjoy your time with your family, okay? So let's go ahead and do our pledge and we'll open a word of prayer. Look at this good-looking fella. I'm looking for a little cute little fella and I got this. All right. Let's do our pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. Amen. Baylor, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Amen. Well, we always do the 12 days of Christmas, the Wednesday night. You can be seated. The Wednesday night before Christmas, and so tonight is the night. So, Roy, hit it and turn it up.
On the first day of Christmas, Jesus gave to me salvation full and free. On the second day of Christmas, Jesus gave to me everlasting life and salvation full and free. On the third day of Christmas, Jesus gave to me peace in my heart, everlasting life and salvation full and free. On the fourth day of Christmas, Jesus gave to me love for all men, peace in my heart, everlasting life and salvation full and free. On the fifth day of Christmas, Jesus gave to me joy for my soul, love for all men, peace in my heart, everlasting life, and salvation full and free. On the sixth day of Christmas, Jesus gave to me power from on high, joy for my soul, love for all men, peace in my heart, everlasting life, and salvation full and free. On the seventh day of Christmas, Jesus gave to me a body glorified, power from on high, joy for my soul, salvation full and free. On the eighth day of Christmas, Jesus gave to me a rod and a crown, a body glorified, power from on high, joy for my soul, love for all men, peace in my heart, everlasting life, and salvation full and free. On the ninth day of Christmas, Jesus gave to me mansions from above, a robe and a crown, a body glorified, power from on high, joy for my soul, love for all men, peace in my heart, everlasting life and salvation full and free. On the tenth day of Christmas, Jesus gave to me streets of pure gold, mansions above, a robe and a crown, a body glorified, power from on high, joy for my soul, for all men, peace in my heart, everlasting life, and salvation full and free. On the 11th day of Christmas, Jesus gave to me 1,000 tongues to sing, streets of pure gold, mansions above, a robe and a crown, a
The kids, let me just give you a couple of announcements. This Sunday is a choir cantata. First of all, it'll be a great time that morning. And then the evening services, we're going to be having our Lord's Supper. And so I hope you can be here for that. It's an important time, a very special time. And so we'll be doing that in our evening services. And then again, like I told you kids, next Wednesday and the following Wednesday, there'll be no services if we don't see you before. Merry Christmas to you. We hope you have a good time and enjoy your family. Keep Jesus at the center of things, and you will be blessed. Let me also, one more quick thing, is remind you, Santa Red and Blue is this Saturday at 8:30. We'll meet down at the police department. They were very excited when I told them how many. We've got about 15 signed up, and then I've had others that have contacted me, and they were really, really excited to be able to get that much help. And so we will have a gooseneck trailer down there, and we'll load her up and drive around town, give out some gifts, and try to help them out. So come be a part of it. You don't have to be an adult to do that. Any of you teenagers want to come and go with us, that'll be good too. It's 8:30 down to police station. Okay, let's see. Anything else, David? Okay. All right, let's dismiss the kids to class. Okay, we'll get our prayer list out here and go over it for just a few moments. I know I keep bragging on these kids carrying their Bibles, but also you'll notice we have not every one of them, but a lot of really, really, really polite young men in that group. They're always being thankful and expressing their appreciation and shaking hands with people, and they can come talk to me and shake hands with me. And as teenagers, that's something we value a lot. We don't see that much of these days. So once again, I brag on our young people, and I think our leaders all the way down to the nursery are doing a great job teaching our kids. Let's go ahead and go over this prayer list. Let me just tell you that Ray and Geraldine, we had told you last week that they were making some improvement, but they kind of made a turn. They ended up both feeling pretty rough and found out they both had pneumonia. And so they've actually moved, Ray and Geraldine, not moved, but they are temporarily staying with Karen and Jeff. And of course, Travis is already there, and he's still under the weather pretty good. And so all of that household needs our prayers. And so Ray keeps telling me, he said, oh, maybe this Sunday, preacher. And I hope he does. But I tell him, I said, Ray, you don't worry about it. You come when you can. So anyway, keep him in your prayers. And then under bereavement, I don't know this family, but the McCleskey family, they got in a call today that we might be doing a service for them. They lost a lady by the name of Belinda, I believe it was, McCleskey. And so anyway, I'll let you know if something, when that comes up. I don't think it's anything that's going to happen within the next few days. So McCleskey family under bereavement. Anybody else? Okay. Nobody? See anybody that can be taken off or needs to be taken off? All right. Well, I tell you what, before we go to the Lord in a prayer, let me just say something about, you know, we had talked about the subject of anti-Semitism Sunday before last, and I think a message that is really urgent to keep in front of you guys and anybody that will listen. Just this week, you see what took place, just more and more acts of terror against the Jewish people. And so anyway, say that to say this, I ran on to two more scriptures, and the Bible's replete with them, but in my daily Bible reading, and some of you guys are on the same schedule with me, so you would have read these same ones, but in Psalms 147, verse 19 and 20, listen to this, it says, "He showeth his word unto Jacob." Remember, Jacob and Israel are synonymous. "His statutes and his judgment unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them." Now, what that's saying is he hadn't dealt with any other people the way he's dealt with them. And the other people don't know what Israel knows or what the Jews know is what that's saying, okay? And then just happens to be the next one over the next psalm over in 148 in verse 14 says, "He also exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even the children of Israel, a people near unto him." And I looked up that near unto him. It actually means a people close to his heart. Is what that's saying. It's a couple of verses that stood out to me that I hadn't noticed in the past. So keep being a friend of Israel. Keep praying for the Hebrew people and the Jewish people, and pray that these terroristic acts and all of this that takes place will come to naught. But it just seems that it's on the rise. History repeats itself over and over and over again, and I don't want to see this happen, okay? All right, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Let me just lead us in prayer, and then we'll get to our study. Father, thank you for bringing us together in your house. Appreciate so much, Lord, your word tonight. Lord, we open it up and look in the book of Matthew. Teach us, help us to glean the truths that you want us to know that will make us better, have a better understanding of you and your purposes in this world. Lord, as we just mentioned, we love the Jewish people, and we know, Lord God, that they're hated by many, and more so than likely any particular race in the world and any particular nation in the world. And so we just pray that you'd be merciful, that you'd protect your children. We pray for peace in Israel. We pray, Lord, also for the salvation of the Jews, Lord. We know that they believe in you, but they don't believe in your son, Jesus, most of them. And I just pray, God, that you would just enlighten them with the truth of the gospel, help them to see the error of their ways. We know, Lord God, you have a special plan for them ultimately. We know, Lord God, that also you told us in your word that there would be a great bit of a cursing that would take place of them, against them, and that's something we're seeing now. And so I pray that you'd be merciful. And Father, as we think of the family that was mentioned for bereavement, we pray for the McCleskey family. We pray for Ray and Geraldine and Travis. Lord, help them to feel better. Pray, Lord God, that you'll help this pneumonia to get cleared up in their bodies. And Lord, they want to be in the house of God, so help Ray and Geraldine to be able to do that very soon. And Father, this time of year, Lord, we celebrate the birth of your son Jesus, and we love you, Jesus. You've been so good to us. You've just such a gift in and of yourself, but you bring so many gifts through your Holy Spirit, and you just you're so good to us, Lord. We could thank you all day. We could spend the rest of the remainder of this year of 2025 giving thanks and never exhaust our words, Lord, because there's so much. And we just appreciate the Christmas season, Lord, as we recognize the birth of our Savior. And pray, God, that you'll help us as we celebrate this time to be mindful of the purpose and the reason for it. And we know, Lord God, there's a lost world out there that'll exchange gifts and do their thing without recognizing you, Lord Jesus. And we pray, God, that that'd be something that would be changed, Lord. I recognize, God, that we live in a dark world, but also there's a lot of light, Lord, that comes with your children. If we'll be a voice and we'll be a testimony, Lord, that we will just be a shining light in this world in such a way, Lord, that you're glorified, as your word says, Lord, let your light so shine before men. And so we pray, Father, that You'll bless our church, Lord, as we have this next Sunday service and have our cantata, our choir, bringing the music for us, Lord, and I pray that you'll bless as I bring the Word of God and as we partake of the Lord's Supper that night, that it'd be a special time and that you'd be honored in all of it. And God, the two Wednesdays that we're away, Lord, we pray that you'll just help us to not lose ground with our kids, and we lose that consistency, Lord, sometimes. I pray that that would not be the case. We'd be able to get them all back here in 3 weeks. So, Father, again, time is at hand, so we're going to go ahead and get to the Word of God. We're just asking your blessings now that you'd teach us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, over to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, and we'll begin a text that we started last week. We begin in verse 31. It says, now let's back up to verse 30 and give a little bit of a perspective to it. It says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So now they're in the Mount of Olives or thereabout. And then Jesus saith unto them all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before thee into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. So we covered verse 31 and verse 32 last week, and we learned that the idea behind the phrase being offended by him is that of being a stumbling block or an obstacle. He's saying what's going to take place with me is going to be a stumbling block to you. It's going to cause you to fall away. Okay, of course, that the obstacle that specifically that he is speaking of here is his being arrested, and then of course the things that would follow after that. But we know it just took the arrest to get them to stumble. But all of that is going to take place later in the night. Jesus predicts, though, that it's going to be their fear. He doesn't say that specifically, but it will be, of course, their fear that's going to distance them from him. When the authorities come into the Garden of Gethsemane, something we'll study very shortly, to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ, that's when they're taking him into custody, that's when it begins, okay? The disciples at that moment are going to begin to realize, hey, they're really coming after him, okay? And so Peter, we'll get to the rest of this here in just a moment, but you just have to understand that right now Jesus doesn't specify exactly what's going to take place in the night, other than saying that he's implying that he's going to die, because he says in verse 32, after I am risen again. And so at least one of them in his mind is that, hey, whatever takes place tonight, I'm not going anywhere. He doesn't mince any words about it. He's saying, no matter what occurs, I'm not going to abandon you, Jesus. And of course, we know that person is none other than the outspoken disciple Peter, Simon Peter. Notice verse 33. He says it again. He says, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. Okay, so he's pretty bold in his words there. At this early stage in Peter's Christianity, there's still a whole lot of pride, a whole lot of self-confidence, and he's convinced that his commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ is such that though everybody else may fall away, he won't. And he's going to be an exception. He's not going anywhere. And I want you to remember that they're out in, again, they're out in the Mount of Olives, and they have just left. If you'll remember, the prior text took place in the upper room when they had the Lord's Supper, the first Lord's Supper, Jesus taught them a lot of stuff. We talked about that last week, and they were in the upper room, and it was there that Jesus also cautioned Peter. And I want to ask you, if you will, we're just going to turn there. It's in a parallel text over in Luke chapter 22. And so there's enough over there that I want to turn there and read this passage. But there too, in the upper room, Jesus had cautioned Peter about something. And it's very interesting. It's found in chapter 22 and verse 31. Jesus says, "And the Lord said unto the Lord said, Simon, Simon," of course that's Peter, "behold, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift you as wheat." Okay? And so he's saying here, the forces of darkness are at work, Peter, and they want to derail you. They want to derail. They're coming after you, and they're not only going to come after Peter, of course. They're coming after the other disciples. But Jesus, I think, obviously recognizes Peter's tremendous amount of self-confidence and pride here, and so he's speaking directly to them. And then he goes on in verse 32. He says, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen your brethren." So what he's saying here is there, Satan's coming after you, but I'm praying for you, Peter. I've already prayed for you, and one of the specifics of my prayer is that when you art converted, that simply means turning back. When you turn back, you're going to stumble, and when you turn back, when you recover from that stumble, then you use that experience to help others. You use that experience to strengthen the brethren, he says. Okay? Now Peter doesn't have a clue what all that means. He's hearing this, and all he knows is that that Jesus is saying, hey, he's gonna fail in a moment of weakness. And so Peter responds there in the very same way that he does in our text on the Mount of Olives. He very self-confidently declares, hey, it'll never happen to me. Verse 33 says, "And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both to prison and to death." In other words, you don't have to worry about me. I'm solid as a rock. I'll die or go to prison before I'll fall away from you. And I want you to notice what Jesus tells him there. This was in the upper room. It says in verse 34, "And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." Now, this is what's interesting to me. We can go back to our text now in Matthew in 26. In verse 34 says the very same thing. Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." It's in this study is the first time I realized, and it's because I read people that are smarter than me, the first time I learned that Jesus had made this same prediction to Peter the same night back in the upper room. Now, he said it a little different. He said, "Peter, Satan's coming after you. The forces of darkness are working against you," okay? But Peter, he gives the same response there that he does in our text here in Matthew on the Mount of Olives, and Jesus gives the same response back that he did here in saying, hey, you're going to deny me before the cock crows three times tonight, okay? So it really indicates how much Jesus saw by doing two different times he speaks to Peter specifically on these occasions, the same night. That he realizes just how vulnerable. Now Peter just realized, or in his mind, thinks he is the boldest. He is the most courageous. He's the most committed. And on the other side of that, you look behind the veil, if you will, of Jesus. He's seeing how it really is, and he's saying, "Peter, you're the most vulnerable." By telling him twice, I recognize Jesus, and I recognize just how vulnerable you are. Your self-confidence is too much, okay? And so it's pretty interesting that reading smarter people than me that draws attention to that exchange took place two different times in the same night. Peter was very obviously a slow learner, and this reveals how proud he was at this point in his life. But he also was very much a leader of the other disciples. Look in verse 35, and we're back in Matthew 26, okay? Look at verse 35. At the end of the verse, it says, "Likewise also said all the disciples," okay? So it's almost like the other disciples, because of Peter's influence, are saying, "Yeah, Peter, that's right. We're not going anywhere." And Peter's, at this point, Peter's example is not a real good example for them. He is the leader. There's no way around it. When you read through the Gospels, and certainly when you get over into Acts, we see his leadership change quite a bit to the better. But he is no doubt the leader of the disciples. That's why I believe in the other exchange in Luke chapter 22, when Jesus tells him, "When you recover from this fall," essentially, "then strengthen your brethren." He recognizes that Peter is the great influence, and he has a powerful testimony with the other disciples. So he's saying, "When you recover from this fall, you utilize the influence you have, and you be a blessing and a strength to your brethren." Okay, but right now the example of Peter is not good. But we know that later, after Jesus' death and his burial and his resurrection, and then ultimately his ascension into heaven, then things began to change for Peter. First of all, the Holy Spirit of God is permanently in his life at that point, and he grows up quite a bit, and we see some good changes there. Okay, so it's going to be a very humbling experience for Peter in just a few hours. Okay, when Jesus speaks these words in this text, he's just hours away from his arrest when Peter makes this mistake, and he's going to learn a very valuable lesson, and it's the lesson that 1 Corinthians 10:12 tells us: "Wherefore let he that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall." Okay, Peter's going to learn that the hard way, and he's going to learn that it's only through Christ's strength that we can do anything. So this is not Peter's greatest moment that we're reading about here. First of all, he's arrogant enough to contradict Jesus, something he'd already done at another place. If you'll remember earlier in Matthew 16, when Jesus was telling him about his death and all of that, and Peter rebuked Jesus, it said. You could imagine a man rebuking the Son of God, and that's when Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." And he says, you're worrying about your own business, not worrying about God's business. And Peter got greatly rebuked from that. So here again, he's contradicting the words of Jesus. He sets himself above the other disciples. Verse 33, it says, he says, "Though all men shall be offended of thee, yet will I not be offended." So he's elevating himself above everybody else. And then thirdly, he's boasting in his own strength. In verse 35, he says, "Though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee." So he's boasting in his own strength, and so it's really a man thing to a great degree here. Not that ladies are exempt from it, but men want to flex their muscles. They want to be the strongest. They want to, "I won't fail. I'm bigger than this. I'm better than this. It's not going to happen to me," and that's a dangerous place to be, okay? It's a dangerous mindset for man or woman, by the way, but that kind of, sometimes we get that way. But thankfully, we serve a gracious Lord who doesn't quit us. And just a few hours from this text that we're reading here, Jesus is going to go to the cross, and he's going to shed his blood for Peter and James and John and all the other disciples, and of course for you and I as well. Those same proud and foolish disciples that are going to betray him and deny him later in the night, he's going to also die for them, and in spite of the fact that they deserted him. They denied him, and he's never going to deny them. And thankfully, our Lord is devoted to restoring those who belong to him, and when they fail. And so he's going to be faithful to them, and not too many days forward after the resurrection, he's going to He's going to restore them, and they'll be just like nothing ever happened, really and truly. He sees the potential in us, see. He sees potential in us, not in us in and of ourselves, but the potential of what we can be with the power of His Holy Spirit and the transforming power of His Word. He sees potential when you and I don't really reveal much potential. And that's something that I alluded to earlier. After Jesus' death and burial and resurrection and ultimately ascends to heaven, we know that over in the book of Acts in chapter 2, the Holy Spirit of God descends on not just the disciples, but all of the believers who are gathered there. And He is going to do what the Holy Spirit does. He's going to begin to teach them and empower them to be what God wants them to be, and to be what they otherwise could not be. And that He's going to do His work, and it's going to be a whole different story for not just Peter, but all of the disciples. You see such a change when you get to the book of Acts. They're no longer these weak, prideful, argumentative, trying to elevate themselves. You know, who's going to be the greatest in the group, blah, blah, blah. All of that's going to go away, and they're going to become very courageous and very bold and very effective in their testimony and their actions. And it's just not going to be talk. It's going to be in actual actions and indeed that they're going to. In fact, the thing about this is, it's you're not going to get very far over in the book of Acts in the early church there when the Holy Spirit is upon them, and they go to work for Jesus, and as a young church, they're very pure and very united and not diluted down by the world. And they're going to be preaching the gospel, and they're going to be there's going to be healings taking place, and all of this. And in chapter 5 of the book of Acts, they're going to go to jail for what they're doing. They're going to go to jail for the preaching of the gospel and all that's taking place, and only to get in jail and have the angel of the Lord come and break them out of jail in a very unique way. Okay. Once they get out of the jail, then they're going to be rearrested, and because that the jail didn't slow them down, they got out and went back to preaching, got rearrested. This time they get beaten and warned, don't be preaching in this guy's name, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, and all of that's going to take place, and then it boils down to one verse in verse 42. Let me show you what they did. They didn't turn tail and run this time, I promise you that. It says, and daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Now, that's a different story, isn't it, from what's going to take place this night. Every one of them, all 11, are going to turn tail and run later in the night. And then all 11 of them get over in Acts chapter 5 and they're doing what we just spoke of there. Different story, right? The Holy Spirit of God, and not just the Holy Spirit of God. He's a big difference maker, no doubt. But also there's a certain amount of maturity that is also involved, just a growing in the Lord. And some of that growth comes from our mistakes. Peter's going to recover, not just Peter, but all of the disciples are going to recover from the big blunder that they make in denying the Lord Jesus Christ. I can assure you that Peter, after this humiliating failure, after he bragged two times in the same night, in the upper room and out on the Mount of Olives, that I'd go to prison. I'll die for you, Lord Jesus. And in doing that, and then he ends up denying Jesus three different times. It's humiliating for him. And he's able through that to grow and to recognize his weakness. And verse 75 of this very chapter in 26 says that when all this transpired, when the cock crowed, it says that Peter wept bitterly. It's a turning point in his life. Now again, the Holy Spirit coming is a big turning point as well. But turning point in his life, that kind of a failure, the feeling of guilt, the feeling of shame, and the recognition that he had failed so greatly, it was the lesson that Peter needed to learn. And sometimes it's a lesson we all need to learn, that we cannot depend upon ourselves. And it made Peter better in the end. You don't find where Peter made any excuses. He didn't sweep it under the rug. He didn't try to assign blame to somebody else. He just owned it. And by doing so, he became a better man. And later, after Jesus rose from the grave, we saw last week, we talked about the fact he said, "I'll see you guys in Galilee." He kept repeating, "We're going to come back together again in Galilee." And that's exactly what took place, is they all gathered in Galilee, and you don't find anywhere in that exchange when they come together where Jesus brought up what they did this night. It's behind them. He picks them up from their stumble, and they recover, and Jesus does not browbeat them. He doesn't. Grace took care of all of that already, and they just move on as if it never happened. And that's the gracious God that we serve. Okay, appreciate you guys very much, and we will go ahead and stand and be dismissed in a word of prayer. Again, it'll be 3 weeks before we're together again, but before we're together on a Wednesday night. And we'll get right back and go to the next text, okay? Santa Blue and Red, or Red and Blue, this Saturday at 8:30, if you can come join us for that. And then Lord's Supper, Sunday night. And, of course, Sunday morning is going to be a great day as well. So I hope you'll be here.